Hi, I'm Grant Armstrong, and I get to serve as directing pastor here at St. John's United Methodist Church in Edwardsville, Illinois. We exist to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Our desire is to be a beacon of faith and service, focusing our passions and gifts to reflect Christ's love to the world. You're invited to join us each week at 9 a.m. for a time of traditional worship, or at 11 a.m. for contemporary worship. Thanks for joining us for this online version of the sermon.
We're going to be reading the scripture. The scripture comes from the book of Luke, chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. So they arrived in the region of the Gerasenes, across the lake from Galilee. As Jesus was climbing out of the boat, a man who was possessed by demons came out to meet him. For a long time he had been homeless and naked, living in the tombs outside the town. As soon as he saw Jesus, he shrieked and fell down in front of him. Then he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Please, I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had already commanded the evil spirit to come out of him. This spirit had often taken control of the man. Even when he was placed under guard and put in chains and shackles, he simply broke them and rushed out into the wilderness, completely under the demon's power. Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, for he was filled with many demons. The demons kept begging Jesus not to send them into the bottomless pit. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby, and the demons begged him to let them enter into the pigs. So Jesus gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the entire herd plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned. When the herdsmen saw it, they fled to the nearby town and the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed out to see what had happened. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been freed from the demons. He was sitting at Jesus' feet, fully clothed and perfectly sane, and they were all afraid. Then those who had seen what happened told the others how the demon-possessed man had been healed. And all the people in the region of the Gerasenes begged Jesus to go away and leave them alone, for a great wave of fear swept over them. So Jesus returned to the boat and left, crossing back to the other side of the lake. The man who had been freed from the demons begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him home, saying, "No, go back to your family and tell them everything God has done for you." So he went all through the town proclaiming the great things Jesus had done for him. On the other side of the lake, the crowds welcomed Jesus because they had been waiting for him. The word of God for the people of God.
In the 2017 musical film about the life of P.T. Barnum, we see a number called Come Alive, where the greatest showman is searching out and welcoming a wide variety of what we'll call unique people, from a bearded woman to Siamese twins to a dog man. Barnum, as played by Hugh Jackman, sings about how these folks hiding in the shadows like the walking dead can come alive because they've been discovered, specifically for the very thing that had been keeping them hidden and outcast. It's a celebration of the throwaways transitioning from cut off to counted in. Their world became greater than they could have imagined because they're coming into the spotlight. And it's a great moment in the film because Barnum's sheer excitement for the discovery of these folks would be incredibly contagious. Now, history would argue that Barnum wasn't truly a champion of these people, but instead he exploited those that the world considered freaks to pad his own pocket. But that doesn't make for an inspiring movie musical, however. If he would sing something like, "You come to work for me because you'd otherwise starve and you don't have much choice," just doesn't empower people. But there is a part of the story that we so desperately want to be true, that the outcast can be redeemed and restored to a place of dignity. That when folks lost in the shadows are sought out, discovered, and given hope, that is indeed a reason to celebrate. And that's the kind of story that we encounter today. We're seeing the progression of these miracles as they advance, as we spend time with what Jesus has done, as it's building up to a really remarkable miracle on Easter Sunday. We go from the most comfortable and least complex to increasingly less comfortable, and wildly complex, from a quiet disaster aversion to something that would restore a demon-possessed man in a synagogue, to the forgiveness and healing of a paralyzed man brought through the roof by his friends, to the long-distance healing of a Roman centurion's servant, Jesus has proven increasingly greater power with each miraculous act. And he's walked into slightly more challenging territory with each sign, too. But up to this point, the need has come to Jesus. Have you noticed that? The need has come to Jesus. But this time, Jesus is going to the need. And that leads to our first lesson. Jesus will go out of his way to touch the untouchable. They arrived at the region of Gerasenes, across from the lake from Galilee. As Jesus was climbing out of the boat, a man who was possessed by demons came to meet him. For a long time, he'd been homeless, naked, living in the tombs outside of town. When he saw Jesus, he shrieked, fell down, and screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." Jesus had already commanded the spirit to come out of him. The spirit had often taken control of this man. Even when he was placed under guard and put in shackles, he broke them, rushed out into the wilderness, and he was completely under the demon's power. So let's list the ways that this man would have been considered unclean in Jesus' time. First, he's on the very Gentile and not Jewish side of the Galilean Sea, unclean. He's possessed by multiple demons, unclean. He's running around naked without any sense of modesty, unclean. He lives among tombs and hangs out around the dead, unclean. We're about to see that he is also near a whole bunch of pigs, unclean. And one more thing. And this is not so much that it's unclean, but it is intimidating. He also apparently has Hulk-like strength, so he can break through shackles as well. And just one of those things would have been enough to keep most religious Jews away. And it was actually fairly effective because this nameless man's help only seemed to come from people who would try to protect him by restraining him. And nobody knew this man's name, not in the story at least. We never find it out over the course of the telling of this miracle. And who would have missed him if he were simply left to die among the graves where he spent his crazed lifetime? But this is the man that Jesus sought out. He made a special trip across the lake for no other reason. He wasn't picking up groceries. Gerasenes was not the site of Jesus' favorite restaurant, and they just happened to stumble across this guy. This man is the reason Jesus got on a boat and went across the Sea of Galilee. This untouchable man who seemed to have no reason for hope, no hope of redemption, Jesus took this journey and faced a near-deadly storm on the way to him. And that section is just before this passage of Scripture. And Jesus took the time and the risk because this man was in serious trouble and torment. When Mother Teresa felt a calling to travel to India to serve in one of the most overpopulated and destitute and physically sickened areas of the world, to serve people who were untouchable by social caste and by their disease, that was aligned with what Jesus showed to us. She stated that the biggest disease today is not leprosy or tuberculosis, but rather the feeling of being unwanted. St. Patrick's Day, I know, was several weeks ago, but I want to acknowledge part of this shift that Patrick brought with his evangelism of the Celts. He went back to a land where he had been enslaved as a youth so he might show the forgiveness of Jesus and redeem the people. And part of what he was doing differently as an evangelist was he was engaging the people of the community into a sense of belonging before expecting that they would believe. And that's a shift from what had been happening previously in the life of the church, where members of a particular parish would be professing and catechized members before they were counted as participants in the community of faith. Part of what changed was that this understanding that the congregation went from being missionaries being sent out to the mission field instead of the pews being filled with only the saved who were on their way to sanctification, the pews became filled with people at every point along the spectrum of faith, belief, understanding, and maturity. And that can be a great thing unless the congregation ceases to go out looking for the lost and the marginalized, or if they stop welcoming the folks who aren't already religious like them, or if they mistake being in the building for being mature disciples dedicated to the kingdom of God. These are all risks to the Celtic approach to reaching people in the name of Jesus. Because as Jesus shows us, it's not enough to wait for folks to come. It's not enough to wait for them. If we're to be fishing for people, as Jesus instructs his followers, it's not, clearly not enough to wait for people to come to us who are already clean, scaled, and filleted. To truly reflect the heart of Christ, we seek out people who have great needs and depend greatly upon the power of God to meet those needs. Because if we take some time to list the reasons why someone might consider us to be unclean, unworthy, we might be surprised at how unqualified we might be to sit among the saints were it not for the grace of Jesus Christ. That leads to our second lesson. Naming the current reality allows Jesus to address it. Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" "Legion," the man replied, because he was filled with many demons, and the demons kept begging Jesus not to send them into the bottomless pit. There happened to be a large herd of pigs who were feeding nearby, and the demons begged him to let them enter the pigs, so Jesus gave them permission. And then the demons came out of the man, entered the pigs, and the entire herd plunged off the steep hillside into the lake and drowned. By the way, this man's demon were named after a massive force of between 4,000 and 6,000 destructive Roman soldiers, just in case his story wasn't endearing enough. Maybe Jesus wanted to know the name of the person, but instead, Jesus got the name of the problem because the problem had taken control. The demons demanded to be addressed, and sometimes they just have to be called out. Sometimes we just have to address the demons, the elephant in the room. How many of our problems are the result of denial? Or made worse because we think we're being nice by not saying something to a person, but we're ultimately being unkind by not addressing a problem, or maybe by talking about it to someone else instead of to that person. This is a piece we absolutely have to get for Jesus to handle some of our greatest troubles. We have to swallow our pride and name our reality. Because there's no way to chart a course towards hope unless we're clear about our starting point. Every once in a while, we just need to run a system check. I don't know if you feel that, but I've noticed every once in a while, I just need to run a system check. How is my spiritual life? How is my health, my emotional, my spiritual, my physical health? How is my marriage? How are my friendships? What is my relationship with sin? What's holding me back? What is pushing me forward? What would God have me start doing? What would God have me stop doing? What would God have me keep doing? And we just get to sit with Jesus in those questions for a while. Even if it's uncomfortable, Jesus knows what to do with our discomfort. And sometimes it's one of his best tools for helping us. The discomfort was a powerful tool in this situation. The mere presence of Jesus caused pain for the demons. They wanted out and they wanted gone. Jesus didn't have to command them to flee. He only needed to give them permission. Then these demons took up residence in a whole bunch of pigs nearby, and then they all went for a dip and proceeded immediately to die. That was a helpful discomfort. That leads to our third lesson. Sometimes the power of God is met with fear instead of faith. Sometimes the power of God is met with fear instead of faith. When the herdsmen saw that, they fled to a nearby town in the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed to see what had happened, and a crowd was soon gathered around Jesus. They saw the man who had been freed from the demons, and he was sitting at Jesus' feet, having been freed, fully clothed, perfectly sane, and they were all afraid. Then those who had seen what happened told the others how the demon-possessed man had been healed. All the people from the region of Gerasenes begged Jesus to go away and leave them alone, and a great wave of fear swept over them. There were a lot of hog farmers who were associated with my previous congregation, partly because the church building was located something like 25 miles away from a massive pork processing plant. As much as you'd celebrate God healing that super annoying crazy person who terrorized you all the time, you might also be super upset that all your pigs just died in a way that resulted in absolutely zero bacon. It's not good. It is not good. So they were probably a mixture of terrified and really angry. That healing cost them greatly, and it was not their fault, but they probably weren't getting those pigs back anytime soon. God's power messes us up sometimes. It makes us choose what's most important, and sometimes we have to decide if we like our livelihood more than eternal life. Sometimes we have to choose if we love our Savior more than our sins. Sometimes we have to determine if we truly trust God with everything or just the parts that we don't mind losing too much if this whole God thing turns out to be a sham. But we have to know fear and faith are not good roommates. They cannot get along, and one will always move out. We have to determine which one gets to stay. And our choice isn't just important for our own lives. That leads to our next lesson. A transformed life is the most valuable sign of Jesus' saving power. Transformed life is the most valuable sign of Jesus' saving power. Jesus returned to the boat and left, crossing back to the other side of the lake. The man who had been freed from the demons begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him home, saying, "No, go back to your family and tell them everything that God has done for you." So he went all through the town proclaiming the great things Jesus had done for him. And on the other side of the lake, the crowds welcomed Jesus because they had been waiting. This guy wanted to get out of there. Everyone had seen him naked and crazy. It was all over Instagram. It had gone viral on YouTube. Daniel Tosh showed the clip on his show, and he just didn't want to have to live with his past. But Jesus did not let him get on the boat and follow. Why? Because it was exactly those folks who needed to see that this man's life had been restored. It was exactly these people who needed to know the power Jesus has to save. His transformed life served as a witness for the people who knew him before. That's super important for us. The presence of Jesus makes us different from who we were before. The presence of Jesus makes us different from folks who don't know Jesus. Our actions should reflect a deeper love, our words more gracious, our thoughts more godly, our giving more generous, our hearts more tender, our gratitude much deeper, our service more humble. And it doesn't happen overnight, but it does happen over time. And people should be able to see that. Our transformed lives help others to see the power Jesus has to save and redeem and restore. And he can do it through the most unclean man he could find at the time. And he can do it for us. If so, he can surely do it for others. We get to let them see what a difference Christ has made in us.